Breaking news today on Seculo as Prime Minister Netanyahu agrees to pauses in the Israel-Gaza war.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, folks, welcome to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let me say right off the bat, tonight on Fox News with Sean Hannity, we are doing an interview with two members of those families who came all the way from Israel to work with members of Congress, both that we set up, both with the House Republican leadership, regular members of Congress, the both leaders of the parties in the House, Speaker Johnson, the Majority Leader Hakeem Jeffries. We did a meeting with House Democrats and an additional meeting with House Republicans on the Foreign Affairs Committee, led by Congressman Joe Wilson. And they actually, instead of going into a studio, we are doing it in our office in Washington, D.C. That will air tonight with Sean Hannity. So you'll be able to hear from me and those hostages and the work that we had been doing in Washington, D.C. And you also get a glimpse, probably pretty small, I haven't seen the shot of how it'll exactly look, but of our conference room in Washington, D.C. And we're expanding, of course, our I guess you'd call it our space in Washington by the going next door as well. So extending our ability to add more staff into Washington, D.C. And that is because of our supporters and this outpouring of support during the Faith and Freedom Drive. That is, again, so important for all of you, I think, to understand how important you becoming a member, joining the Faith and Freedom Drive, doubling the impact of your donation, but also so many of you are also taking that same opportunity to become a recurring donor to the ACLJ, which means you pick an amount that will be monthly, that will monthly a debit from whatever card you put in. And when there is a matching month like this month and you are recurring, that recurring donation does get matched. So we've seen a great increase in that. And what we are calling that group is ACLJ Champions, because you're the group that is not only donating for the month so that we can continue to expand. And if that's what you can do financially, is donate when you can, that's great. But if you're in a position to kind of put us in your monthly donation framework, like maybe you do it at church or other organizations, what it allows us to do is have all these resources necessary so that when it starts off with four hostage families, and now it's at about 120, it looks like, that we will be representing in both the UN, in the United States, inside Israel, and international courts and tribunals, and in diplomatic meetings. You've heard a lot about the Qataris lately and their efforts to release hostages. We were with, I know we talked about it a little bit, but I want you to understand, we were with those House Democrats on when we were having those meetings after we had left the meeting with the Speaker and Elise Stefanik and Scalise and Emmers, who did a great press conference and meeting with these hostages. That's how we kicked off the day. But then we did a meeting. They did a meeting with Hakeem Jeffries, which is great that he took the meeting, the leader of the Democrats. You want this to be bipartisan as possible, especially when you've got some Democrats that are the squad members saying some nasty, horrendous things about Israel. I'm glad Rashida Tlaib was censured and 22 Democrats joined in that. Well, about those 22 came to that meeting to hear from those hostages. One of them had a very good relationship with the Qatari ambassador. I've worked with the Qatari foreign minister when we were working on the release of Saeed Abedini. So one of the last meetings we did that day was at the Qatari embassy. And now you're hearing from the Qatari foreign minister about how they're working on hostage releases. And that congressman, a Democrat, and I just want to say sometimes it's not about politics at all. Congressman Landis joined us in that meeting to put that pressure on. The ambassador there is an Al-Thani, which is part of the royal family. So this is, again, the significance of our work at the ACLJ. A lot to talk about today on the broadcast, obviously, how this potential kind of four-hour ceasefires work and what happens next. But be an ACLJ champion. Donate today, aclj.org. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Secula. We are taking your calls as well. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. You may see, and it's written differently in every headline, but in a lot of the headlines, it's Israel has agreed to a four-hour ceasefire daily for the humanitarian issues in Gaza so that those Palestinians that want to depart and leave the Gaza Strip are able to through Egypt, and that humanitarian goods can come in. I want to explain it a little bit. It's not really a ceasefire. It's a cessation for 4 hours. It also doesn't stop all military actions. This is in certain parts of the Gaza Strip. So people are notified. I think they get 3 hours of notice before the 4 hours begins. The first one happened yesterday, but I want to reinforce this. Hamas kept firing rockets into Israel, and Israel continued their operations. But in certain areas where there were civilian populations that want out, they don't want to be there. They don't support Hamas. They don't want to die for their cause. That allows them the time to get to the next location to ultimately get out of Egypt. Now, how that benefits Israel is two ways. One, you take out your less civilian casualties, so less human shields for Hamas to use. Second, they're very short windows, so it's not giving Hamas the time to totally rebuild their forces. In fact, we know a number of Hamas leaders were killed last night, and that haven't gotten confirmation yet, but one of their top commanders of their military wing has at least been encircled by the IDF in Gaza. So whether he's dead yet or not, we don't know. But we know, again, there's been serious on-the-ground actions there. So it is not a ceasefire like no one is going to be shooting at each other for, you know, a week or how long will it hold. They are still shooting at each other. It's just certain regions are kind of like safe zones for now, so long as groups like Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad abide by the ceasefire terms, which is to stop firing even into certain areas into Israel. Doesn't stop them fighting, necessarily shooting at Israeli military. Same with Hamas, but also same with the IDF taking out Israelis. So trying to make it safer for those civilians who want out and get some humanitarian aid in. Why I think this was considered is because this is how the Qataris, who we met with in Washington, D.C., and I've traveled to Doha twice to meet with their foreign minister. It's the Al-Thani family who rules the country. The foreign minister was in Al-Thani to help with Saeed Abedini. And he made a phone call to the foreign minister's counterpart in Iran and continued to help in our efforts until Saeed was released. So we have a big Marine base in Qatar. But also the Hamas political leadership lives in Doha. So Ismail Haniyeh, one of those, Khalid Mashal, they don't live in the Gaza Strip anymore. Now, they are not, they try to say we're the political leaders, we're not the militant wing, and there's somehow some difference. But we can debate all we want about Qatar and that role. But because of this situation, they're able to play this unique opportunity where right now in Doha, you have the political leadership of Hamas, you have the Doha Revolutionary Guard, which I've actually been on their bases, very pro-American because we have a large base there and work together with that Marine base and air base. And I was with the Qatari ambassador, who is also in Al-Thani in Washington, D.C., and that's what they were looking for, is moments where, again, there was enough time to where you don't just say, yeah, we'll let some hostages out, but there'd be enough time to get them out if they are underground and to locate them and again, just kind of set up some kind of process that everyone can agree to. So right now, to my knowledge, no new hostages have been released. I know there were some deals with some Thai hostages who were working on farms in Israel, but I'm talking about Israelis or, again, other nationalities. We will see. There's been talks about younger people and the elderly being released first. That would be wonderful if, one, they're still alive, and second, if this leads to that. So that, I think, is the hope here. You can't trust Hamas. You can't trust Palestinian Islamic Jihad, but you do want to give the opportunities to get the hostages out in a safe way. And also, if you can move more Palestinians who are not militants out of the battle zone, Hamas is not able to use them as human shields. Thus, all that imagery they try to use to make Israel look like the bad guy gets that much tougher. So don't think of it as a ceasefire in a bad way, or like Netanyahu is folding to pressure from the international community. These are short cessations of conflict in certain zones. Israel is still fighting right now as we speak, even if one of those quote ceasefires was ongoing. Rockets are still being fired into Israel, even if this quote ceasefire is still ongoing. It's a few hours a day, and we'll see how long it lasts. I think if it does not produce the release of hostages, maybe not all of them, but some of them, at least like a trickle even beginning, then I'm not sure it lasts very long. But I did want to underscore to you, we're not just representing the families that you saw us with in Washington, D.C. They came all the way from Israel, yes, to tell their stories about whether it was their son, their twin brothers, or another brother, but they were also in Washington, D.C. to represent all of those 240 families and hostages who are not necessarily able to make the trip to Israel because of other issues they've got, and maybe family, young people. A lot of these folks, the ones especially who lived on the kibbutz, the brothers I was with, you know, their homes were destroyed. They could be rebuilt, but I mean, there's nothing to go back to. Half of the people on that kibbutz were killed, including the children. But the other half that wasn't killed or injured were taken hostage, and they hope that they are still alive. So it is, again, a very difficult situation, but I wanted to underscore, so the ACLJ has gone from 4 to about 120 clients, it looks like, who are families of those hostages that we will be taking to all of these different international institutions because of our status at the UN. We're doing that right now, filing for on the working group on these illegally detained individuals and hostages. Basically, they have a working group. We've been working with the Qataris, and we've worked with them before in the past, and we've gotten some success there. They also are, again, I mean, you know, it's not like they can just snap their fingers and Hamas will do what they want, but they have that unique relationship between working with, for instance, the head of Mossad, which is Israel's CIA, and the head of the CIA of the U.S. were in Doha together meeting with their leadership on getting these hostages out. So it's always been a unique city in the last, I'd say, 15 years for different groups who don't always work together to be able to work together safely in times where they do have interest that coincide. So I think that's very important that we're right in the middle of that at the ACLJ, because two things. One, we've done it before, so it wasn't strange for us. We know the Qataris. We know the culture. We know the political leadership. I mean, the ambassador we met with to Washington was a sheikh. I mean, he is part of the royal family. And he said, I just was on the phone with Doha, and every day we get on the phone with Doha to work on hostages. One of their top focus so far has been hostages that also have American citizenship, especially because he's the DC, you know, he's the ambassador to Washington, D.C., so he's the ambassador to the United States. And so anybody, there's a 3-year-old girl out of North Carolina who is a dual citizen that was taken. Her parents are killed, but she was taken with another Israeli family from her kibbutz. And there's been talks of people like her, and I hope those talks are true. When those reports come out, you know, it will be wonderful if that starts happening. So far, they have not yet started to happen. But I just wanted to dispel the myth that Israel was somehow kind of like giving up the fight. That is absolutely not the case. This is a way to both continue the fight, not give Hamas a real ceasefire that lets them build up their supplies or get into new locations, because these only last 4 hours. And it also puts pressure points on the Qataris to say, okay, can you actually get some of these hostages freed during these periods where it would be safe to get them back over the border and delivered into Israel? I want to play the sound from Prime Minister Netanyahu. He was, and this is speaking in English to the U.S. audience, about this decision to go for this 4-hour cessation, if you will, or pause, as he calls it.
How firm has the push been by President Biden and his administration for these humanitarian pauses, and what have you agreed to?
Well, one thing we haven't agreed to is a ceasefire. A ceasefire with Hamas means surrender to Hamas, surrender to terror, and the victory of the Iran's axis of terror. So there won't be a ceasefire without the release of Israeli hostages.
So there you go, right there. Not a ceasefire. There's 240 at least hostages. We don't know how many are alive. That's a job that Israel is doing a lot of work on. So is Qatar, actually. And they are hoping. They've gotten some reports that some have gotten medical care that have been needed, that some of the children actually have been taken care of. Of course, horrendous situation for them. I'm not trying to say Hamas is, this is wonderful that Hamas is doing this. I mean, but that they're getting a lot of pressure from the Qataris to make sure those people stay alive. And again, we're going to keep this pressure up. So we are not even close to done with these efforts. We are now going to 120 new clients. Donate at ACLJ.org. So as I said, tonight, we had those hostage families in Washington, D.C. They flew from Israel on Monday. They hit Capitol Hill Tuesday. They met with Secretary. I don't know if we have the photos to put up. Maybe we can. I'll send some to you. They met with Secretary Pompeo yesterday and in our office in Washington, D.C. And, of course, he has these diplomats. There you go with the photos of him meeting with those hostage families. And he was able to say, like, I will take this to even the next level of Middle Eastern leaders. We met with the ambassador to the U.S. from Qatar. He will take it up all the way to the emir. So this is, again, shows you the work of just how the ACLJ is able to do all of this while at the same time doing those cases at the 14th Amendment, fighting for your right to vote. We're not slowing down anywhere domestic work. This is just, again, the growing size of the ACLJ. What I liked about some of these interviews, the one you'll see on Hannity tonight, I don't know how much of our really great conference room you'll see on in Washington, D.C. that you'll actually see, but you'll see some of it. And you saw pictures of it just now if you're watching the broadcast. So I sit down with Doris Lieberman and one of the brothers they think their brother is they've been told their brother, 99% chance, is still alive. He was one of those on the kibbutz. But one of the hostage family member representatives who was not on the Hannity interview, he was in all the meetings, and he is going to be in all of some of the media we've done, and we've had him on our broadcast. He sat down with Fox News Digital at our office. Now, this is our conference room. This is at one of our offices in Washington, D.C. I want you to take a listen as he tells his story.
The worst fear is that officials will come and tell us that they are dead. It took so long because there were so many bodies, so many dead people, and the rumors of the condition of the dead bodies was so horrific that it took a long time for confirmation on the dead. But after 10 days, all these 10 days I went to 9 funerals of friends, neighbors. It was the worst week of my life. 9 funerals. Since then, since the last funeral, the 9th one, I haven't been managed to cry anymore. No more tears. It's left. 10 days later, official officers of the government came to us and let us know that according to their understanding, with 99.9% guarantee, they are kidnapped into Gaza. Later, they confirmed that 100% they are in Gaza, they are kidnapped. But we know nothing. We don't know if they are together. We don't know the meaning of their kidnapping. We don't know how they got there. We don't know if they're injured, if they are still alive. We don't know who is holding them, Hamas or any other group. There are a lot of subgroups in Gaza. And it's been a month of not knowing.
So he is representing their twin brothers who were taken hostage, 26-year-old twins, Gali and Ziv Berman, who were from that same kibbutz those other brothers who came to Washington, D.C., where their brother was taken from. And again, what they want to know first really is just, is their brother alive or their twin brothers, are they alive? That's just the first question a lot of these families want to know. Or were they killed in the process? Because it was difficult. Some of these were taken hostage in firefights. So you don't really know. I know in Doris Lieberg's case, her son, was shot. He told his mother that, and he couldn't stop the bleeding. So did he make it as a hostage? IDF believes so. But they, again, very tough on these families. So what I want to encourage you to do and make sure you know is kind of just all of this different work that ACLJ is doing is because of your support during this Faith and Freedom Drive, where we match your donation dollar for dollar. If you go to aclj.org and click on Faith and Freedom Drive, Logan. And I mean, the moment also, I want to add to this too, because it's important. These recurring donors that we're calling ACLJ champions, they're the reason why that when the brothers who were from the same kibbutz said, you know, I think most of the kibbutz who have families that are in hostage would want you representing them. Yes. Can you represent that many people? 120 families.
Well, yeah, when you know there's thousands of people behind you ready to support, when you have all those ACLJ champions.
That's what we get to say.
Yes.
We didn't have to think about it. We said, absolutely. If we need to hire people, more people in Israel, we have an office there. If we need to hire more, we can do that. Absolutely. If we need to be there with them or bring them here to the United States, we can do that as well. So I just want to underscore why it's so important. If you make that donation during the Faith and Freedom Drive, that is wonderful because your donation is matched dollar for dollar. But if you're able to keep that donation and make it a monthly recurring donation and become an ACLJ champion, that is how we continue to expand our efforts. But it also allows us to have that resources ready to go. And again, from all the different work we're doing, I mean, we're going to talk a little bit later about some political work we're doing in the U.S. on these 14th Amendment cases. They're starting to heat up. We're also doing production of movies. And I wanted to bring in Logan to talk about this because that we're getting into that time of year when you get towards Thanksgiving, and there was the strikes that are announced coming back, but there's a lot lack of content. People like kind of happy, fun, family, holiday movies, and the ACLJ and Rumble have partnered, and Logan is a co-producer with Sean Hannity?
Yeah, that's right. And we have a brand new movie. And what I'm really excited about, like you said, is with the work of the ACLJ extends well beyond the courtroom. And we've been doing that. We've made things important in terms of, look at this show, look at the media we do. Well, we decided to get into the world of feature film, and we're going to start it, kicking it off with narrative feature films. We've been doing documentaries for years, but like this, with a Christmas comedy with a lot of heart and a lot of laughs, but it also hits on some very important issues. But mainly, we are providing an alternative entertainment platform for you and your family, and we want to grow that as well. I have seen it firsthand as a dad, the kind of agenda that gets pushed in television, in movies, in video games, and we can be a part of that change. So while this movie may appear on the surface level to be a silly, fun Christmas comedy, and it is, it's got a lot of heart, a lot of message, and it's in very important. It's a very important part of what the ACLJ believes in as well as we move into expanding our reach into other spaces. I'm excited to share with you a brand new trailer for our feature film, Jingle Smells. That's right, Jingle Smells. It stars John Schneider, who you know from the Dukes of Hazzard, and you've heard seen him on this show so many times. It stars Ben Davies, who you may know from his time. He's at the Daily Wire. He's one of the producers there for Michael Knowles. In a huge cast of characters. We need to go and take a look at this trailer right now.
You know, it's very hard to find a place that even comes close to being worthy of your beauty.
It's romantic.
It's about you and me alone.
Wow, look at the two of you.
Merry Christmas, America. Hollywood has canceled Mason Stone.
Stone will be digitally replaced by AI.
Boycott Stone!
We will no longer be manufacturing Mason Stone characters.
Get them all out of here by Christmas Eve.
You gotta be kidding me.
How'd you get it? Oh, fell off the truck.
There was a truck involved.
The mysterious gift giver has struck again.
If you get busted with those toys, you're done.
And you made me an accessory.
Well, you know what they say. Some accessories are required.
Am I smiling?
No.
Jingle smells, stinking all the way.
They called me Jingle Smells.
Yeah, I know.
Premieres on Rumble on Thanksgiving Day, and you can pre-order it right now. And this is the last day you can pre-order and save $5 on the purchase price. Right now, you go to jinglesmells.movie. Jinglesmells.movie. That's the domain. You'll see a big button that says pre-order on Rumble right here. Click that button. It'll take you to the page. Put in your credit card information. You're good to go. If you're on Rumble already, type in Jingle Smells. It'll come right up. I hope you guys have a great Thanksgiving, watching it all together as a family with your kids, your grandkids. It's a great experience for everybody, and it's just a hilarious film with a lot of heart.
We'll also explain the second half hour. You can also watch it on your TV and yes. How. Support the work of the ACLJ. Donate ACLJ.
Keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Right, welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. But again, I encourage you today, whether it's that Fox News digital piece that was shot in our office with one of the families that we showed, I've gotten that out on my social media so you can share it with your friends and family, whether you're on Truth, X, or Facebook, and you follow me there. I'm on with two of those family members tonight. That was done in our conference room in Washington, D.C. on Sean Hannity's broadcast. So you definitely don't want to miss that as well. Because of that work that we've done with the families all week in Washington, we've added likely an additional 120 clients in Israel of hostage families that we will be working on their release. Don't buy into the ceasefire talk that it is actually a ceasefire. It is not. It is a pause in fighting that gives, one, the opportunity for Palestinians who don't want to be part of Hamas to leave the Gaza Strip and go into Egypt, and allows for some humanitarian aid in. But it's only in certain parts of the Gaza Strip that the war stops in. So it's not even like conflict stops. If you were looking, you know, from afar, you'd still see rockets being shot from Gaza and planes from the IDF flying over and taking out targets there. It's just certain areas. So it's a pause. As Prime Minister Netanyahu said, and we played it for you, there's not going to be a ceasefire unless and until every single hostage is freed. They're not even going to consider a ceasefire. No, not even on the balance. And President Biden has backed him up with that. And you have to give credit there, at least with his words so far, and make sure those words remain in action. We have, you know, and we've got a lot of work too going on around the United States and around the country. Of course, it's getting closer to election. We are adding, and again, this is because of your support, folks. Additional cases, likely two more in the 14th Amendment battle. Two more state parties that we'll be representing. I can't say yet, I don't want to name them yet because they're in the process of signing on, you know, getting the retainers and being represented by us. But this, again, there's a couple of very big states. I'll leave it just at that. And we're already representing a lot of big states. We've gotten victories already in Oklahoma and Minnesota. We are working in, obviously, Virginia, West Virginia. We'll go through all. And one of our cases that's being filed in Michigan, I think it's six or seven states are joining that as well, because how it impacts their state if votes aren't counted for Trump in that state. Well, how does it impact the people who voted for Trump in their state? So there's a lot of moving parts here. It goes two ways. Either this gets beaten down in the lower courts, or in Colorado is going to be interesting because we have a final day, a closing argument in that is on next week, on the 15th, I believe. So our team will be making the closing argument on behalf of the Colorado Republican Committee. That's their state party. The Trump campaign is also represented there. And then the organization that brought the case to try and remove him from the ballot. Most prediction is that you plan in these kind of cases to take a loss at the early court level. But this one's gotten a little delayed. We actually thought it was going to be coming even the decision like Friday, and things got delayed to even more. And I think these courts are looking at what's happening in other courts, and they are afraid that this ultimately just ends up at the Supreme Court and they all get shot down because these, again, whether they do or don't like Donald Trump, it's not really their business to be deciding whether or not he can be on the ballot. And Logan, we were able to do all this. I mean, it's a lot to talk about doing all at the same time. We're also planning an event in France in December for these hostage families, working with Europeans, the ECLJ and ACLJ Jerusalem and the ACLJ here. It's because of our Faith and Freedom Drive and the support we've gotten.
That's right. Here, as we start to wrap up this year, it's crazy, this year is almost over. We really couldn't do it without you, without your support. And this is a really critical time. This is the ACLJ Faith and Freedom Drive, where your donations are doubled. So again, if you give $20, it becomes $40 and so on and so on. And it goes to the critical work to support faith, support freedom, and everything that that entails. And right now, as we support hundreds of hostages, families, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Secio. We've been talking about the work up for these Israeli hostages, and big thanks to our entire government affairs team. They've been working it throughout the week. My dad's been in meetings, continued meetings with attorneys, international, as he's doing right now, with attorneys, French attorneys, top French attorneys who are in the happen to be in the United States on a different issue that we've worked with before on other issues involving Israel, actually, and the International Criminal Court. So he's doing that, but that doesn't slow down any of our government affairs work in Congress or in the courts in Washington, D.C. I want to bring on Harry Hutchison because, Harry, I kind of want to update people on these 14th Amendment cases, because not only are we starting to see some outcomes now, we've gotten a victory in Oklahoma and Minnesota, but the caseload is also increasing.
Absolutely. So there are at least a dozen cases which are pending throughout the United States. The ACLJ has been active in Michigan, Oklahoma, Colorado, West Virginia, as well as Minnesota. And at least to date, the ACLJ has participated in securing a victory in Minnesota and in Oklahoma. We have also filed litigation to intervene in Michigan, and we've raised constitutional arguments that are very, very serious. It's important to note that if you look at Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, the United States Supreme Court has consistently said that you need congressional action in order to bring a case within the meaning of Section 3 or any provision of the 14th Amendment. Notwithstanding that, it's important to keep in mind that there is a persistent move by the left, along with elite law professors, who are seeking to basically prevent Donald Trump from running for office and allowing the American people the choice of who the next president will be. This is a sophisticated form of election interference, which follows basically a pathway that has been trademarked in the United States since 2016, when we had Russia collusion claims raised, and in 2020, when the government essentially said that talking about Hunter Biden's laptop was a form of Russian disinformation. So this is simply another attempt by the left, I would argue, to prevent the American people from exercising their right to vote.
Yeah, and I think it's very interesting too, Harry, that these states who are joining on, with states like Delaware, who are joining on to one of our new filings, because they're saying, hey, listen, if the voters in Michigan can't, if their votes don't get counted, it'll impact our voters in Delaware, whose votes won't get counted, who, again, the primary, very important to them, because that's where Republicans in Delaware kind of have the most ability to make their voice heard, because it's a pretty blue state when it gets to the general election. So the primary, at least they can have an impact in who becomes the Republican nominee. And so if they're voting for somebody who's not going to be, votes won't be counted for in another state, especially maybe a larger state like a Michigan, so they're signing on to these briefs.
Absolutely. And I think they have a very important point to make with respect to depriving, or the attempt to deprive, their voters of a real choice in the next president of the United States. I think it's also important to keep in mind that as President Trump faces litigation in Georgia, New York, Florida, and Washington, D.C., that his poll numbers have risen. And so I think the left is very, very worried about his candidacy and his ability to beat the presumptive Democratic nominee, President Biden. And so I think as President Trump, Trump's poll numbers go up, there will be more and more litigation that the Republicans will have to face, and the ACLJ will be there in terms of protecting the American people's right to vote. I think that's very, very essential, very, very important. And it's important as well if we think about this from a long-term perspective. The ACLJ is interested in defending the Constitution and the rule of law. And I think it's clear beyond question that all of the precedents favor the ACLJ's interpretation of the 14th Amendment. So I think this is very, very important litigation. I would urge listeners to continue to support the ACLJ's effort in defending the Republican Party's rights of free speech and freedom of association.
Yeah, we also see that President Trump will again take the stand Monday in New York in that trial. This time again, for more. Now, you don't get video of that, but you will get reports from that as well. So we'll be tracking that as well. And I think that, again, another issue that we are seeing, Harry, across the country is these pro-Palestinian protests.
Absolutely.
And you've been a college professor. This time, it actually was at the New York Times. The New York Times last night, basically, it was stormed by Palestinian protesters. They caused a lot of damage. Some people said they were kind of let in by the New York Times. I don't know. Is there anger at the New York Times because they think the New York Times isn't doing enough about the report? I mean, sometimes it's like they're taking targets because they think the New York Times is maybe too friendly to Israel.
Yeah.
But they also are just want to break things. It's kind of like that Antifa move. So Antifa has now become this, I think they've merged into a pro-Palestinian movement. And it doesn't seem like it's not dying down.
Absolutely.
It's at a level of hatred that we have not seen this kind of racial hatred in the U.S. since, I'd say, the 1960s, maybe early 70s.
It feels very scary,
70s.
Yeah, for sure. It doesn't feel at all like America in 2023 should feel. But, of course, if it's on the side that they don't...
You have a right to protest as a Palestinian, but these protesters are shouting out for people to be eliminated, people who gotten killed at these events. That elderly guy in Los Angeles got hit over the head with a megaphone, dead on the street.
Pinatas of Netanyahu. It's pretty wild.
Yeah. I mean, so, Harry, the college campuses, though, a lot of these protesters who are not Palestinian kids or young people, but are hearing this from their college professors that, we're an apartheid state, like the U.S. is horrible, imperial, whatever, and Israel just as bad, maybe even worse.
I think your analysis is precisely spot on, but what is important to keep in mind is many of these protests are driven by a toxic, virulent ideology that is hateful to the United States. It's hateful toward Jews, and it is hateful to the notion that we can even have a consensus with respect to what constitutes our common humanity. And so if you look at the social media pages, you will find a significant number of individuals. What are they doing? They are tearing down posters of individual hostages. They are claiming, in essence, that what happened on October the 7th, when the Palestinians invaded Israel, was all Israel's fault. That all of the terror, that all of the violence, all of the atrocities, they were simply caused by an apartheid regime that is engaged in an illegal occupation of Palestine. Well, that is clearly nonsense. If one understands the whole history of Palestine, if one understands the whole history of the nation state of Israel, it's important to keep in mind that Israel was a nation 1,600 years before Muhammad created the religion of Islam. And keep in mind the pro-Palestinian demonstrators, many of them, they are driven by an Islamic ideology. An ideology that says we have to drive every single Jew into the sea.
Yeah. Eliminate the Jewish people. Eliminate Absolutely. The Jewish state of Israel. Folks, we are in the midst of our faith and freedom drive. And let me just take some time here just so, again, because a lot of info. Next week, we're representing as many as 120 hostage families. This is in the United States, before Congress, before the executive branch, international tribunals like the United Nations, possibly going to Geneva, Paris, and hosting meetings in our office in Strasbourg with international groups of attorneys and partners taking the lead on it. We're filing four major submissions at the UN on hostages Monday. Those were the four individuals who came from Israel to meet with members of Congress that you saw us with. So we were like sherping them around. We will be filing on their behalf at the UN on hostages on Monday. And in that major meeting, the ECLJ that in Strasbourg will be hosting in December if... we hope we don't have to have this meeting, but if those hostages are still not released. But at the same time, we continue all of the domestic work. Our 14th Amendment victories in Minnesota and filings in, we've already had Oklahoma, filings in Virginia and Michigan, and in Colorado, more filings today. But in order to meet these legal demands, we launched a Faith and Freedom Drive. Your tax-deductible gifts will be doubled dollar for dollar through the ACLJ's Faith and Freedom Drive. You go to ACLJ.org to donate today, and you can also become, and this has been so important to our work at the ACLJ, especially because you cannot predict the atrocities of October 7th and how many potential clients would be out there who needed a group that could represent them at the highest levels but didn't have the money to hire that type of lawyer. They could because of you, those recurring donors at ACLJ.org. All right, welcome back to Secio. We are taking your phone calls. If you want to get some questions in, we talked about a lot of different issues today, 1-800-684-3110. But I did want to take this Friday on a lighter note to talk some heavy issues. And by the way, check the interview out tonight on Hannity. If you are going to be out, record it. It starts at 9 p.m. Eastern time, because you'll see inside the ACLJ Washington, D.C. conference room, I'll be there with two of our clients that were representing two of those families of Israeli hostages who came to the United States. Directly to tell their story to Sean, and they're sitting there with me. So it's kind of an out-of-studio experience where you get a glimpse inside the ACLJ, which I know a lot of you have seen those images before, but it's different. It's not just us, you know, in a studio with the background. So check that out. And if you know you're not going to be, if you're going to be out, go and record it wherever you watch, and make sure when that interview gets clipped out, share it with your friends and family, because it's powerful stories. And powerful stories, Logan, are kind of how you impact people. Sometimes they're very raw, like these ones with the hostages, and they have to be tough, and they have to kind of pull at all of your emotions. And you would hope that you could even convince people that see this and say, you know what, maybe I need to rethink all this anger I have at Israel when I see this mom in tears about her son who was at a concert, ends up shot. She's just hoping to, she's asking like three questions. One, does he still have an arm because of how bad the injury was and the shooting of his arm? If he does have an arm, is he alive? Is he alive without an arm? Or did he die out from bleeding? And every night, you'll hear from these families. They kind of sleep, but it's nightmare sleep. And most of them, and you look them in the eye and you know it's true, they're like living it every moment, is what he called it. So it's a kind of a PTSD, but even a more intense. So you can convince people that way, but you've also got to change culture in ways that aren't always so heavy, because people can't take heavy all the time.
Yeah, that's absolutely one of the reasons we decided to go into making feature films and to really broaden the work of the ACLJ. And with this film, it does touch on some of those topics. I mean, the main characters are all vets. The main lead character, I mean, we decided to place it in a very real world experience, something that's not too far away. Our main character was someone who was there during during the Afghanistan withdrawal, and how that affected his life moving forward and trying to kind of get back to civilian life. And that's how the movie opens. Now, we say that very subtly. It's not that specific. You hear Bagram, you hear Afghanistan, but there is a moment, you know, later in the film where we really dive in. I mean, there's a moment in this movie where I could tell you, I have not seen a person watch it who doesn't cry. So that does happen in this film, and it's incredibly performed by Ben Davies in this movie, who you know from maybe War Room or Courageous, a lot of kind of big Christian movies. And he's obviously he's the producer of the Michael Knowles Show. He does an amazing job playing this character. But we think it is very important to not only get our message to Washington, D.C., but get our message into your living room, into the living rooms of people who may not be used to hearing it and seeing it. And we have partnered with who else? The number one free speech platform, which is Rumble. And this film does hit cancel culture. It is a comedy. It does talk about supporting our vets and our troops. And it has a strong faith element as well. If you're looking for a movie that has a strong Christian message when it comes to Christmas. It does as well as sort of the whimsy that surrounds Christmas, and the Christmas magic.
Is Veterans Day.
Yes.
So, you know, I can't think of a better time because the movie is about a veteran who's come back and has faced some issues, who fought, and his father was also a veteran of these wars. So a great time because this movie is also supporting veterans and what they go through when they come back to the world that they left behind. To get one, you get the $5 off.
Yeah. Right now, they're still $5 off.
And it's a movie about veterans.
Yes, absolutely. And we're going to play a clip. You know, this is a trailer to the film. It is a comedy. It's fun. As soon as this show's over, just a little bit, this trailer will be available for you to share with everyone. And hopefully you get a lot of friends on board. It's coming on Thanksgiving Day. But you can pre-order now and save $5. And what I encourage you to do is pre-order now. We want this to be. We want to show Hollywood that we can change what our families have to experience in terms of entertainment. We want this to be the number one Christmas comedy this year. And I think we can do that. And we can do that with your support. A large percentage of the revenue goes back to the ACLJ. So know that as well when it comes to how it's all broken up. You can be a part of it right now. Go to Jingle Smells. That's right, like bells but smells, because they are characters that are garbage men, sanitation workers.
It's not a gross out movie, though.
It's not, no.
The smell part, it's not a gross out movie at all.
No. But it is just super funny. It is a great family comedy in the style sort of the 80s and 90s Christmas comedies we all grew up on. And it's clean. Take a look at the new, brand new trailer to Jingle Smells.
You know, it's very hard to find a place that even comes close to being worthy of your beauty.
It's romantic.
It's about you and me alone.
Wow, look at the two of you.
Merry Christmas, America. Hollywood has canceled Mason Stone.
Stone will be digitally replaced by AI.
Boycott Stone!
We will no longer be manufacturing Mason Stone characters.
Get them all out of here by Christmas Eve.
You gotta be kidding me.
How'd you get it?
Oh, fell off the truck.
There was a truck involved.
The mysterious gift giver has struck again.
If you get busted with those toys, you're done.
And you made me an accessory.
Well, you know what they say. Some accessories are required.
Am I smiling?
No.
Jingle Smells, stinking all the way.
They call me Jingle Smells.
Yeah, I know.
That's
took
right.
Took a twist. Took a twist. I thought I was going to watch, you know, saw Bo Duke and John Schneider's
in like a Hallmark movie. A Hallmark, yeah, but now we swerved you.
You know, you found another love.
Yeah.
Someone had passed away.
Hometown. Yeah, that whole deal. But no, we decided. That was funny. That came to me just a couple nights ago when I was making this edit. I went, what if it started off like this? And that got a huge response. Obviously, you see John Schneider right there. It is fun, but it also has a ton of heart, ton of message. It is Veterans Day. You can still get $5 off. And again, our goal is to change not only what's going on in Washington, D.C., but to change hearts and minds of people. And you can do that through the entertainment industry. And we can do that in changing Hollywood. You've seen it now the last year. And people are shaken in their boots knowing that there is a Christian and conservative and free speech loving Americans who are ready for an alternative in their entertainment. You need to be a part of this as well. This is a great time. Just do it. Set it. Pre-order it. You're going to save a couple bucks. And also, when you do that, it'll just be available Thanksgiving Day. Boom, it'll show up. You'll be able to watch it. We're going to walk you through exactly, I'm going to put out a video, exactly how to get it on your television. It's real easy. Rumble has an app. It's easy to do it. But we encourage you to just buy it through the website. And honestly, we encourage you to do that. And I was very honest before. Encourage you to do that because someone like an Apple or any of those, they take a large percentage of your money when you do it that way. We don't want that. So go to
jinglesmells.movie.
If you're on Rumble already, just search Jingle Smells or go rumble.com/jinglesmells. It'll come up. There's a big button that says buy access.
There too. That's not cutting it.
Through Rumble's website. Do that. Then you'll just log in on the app and it'll be available for you right there. It'll say, thank you for purchasing. Come back on November 23rd. That's not very far away, but we could even advertise before that this is going to be the number one Christmas comedy in the country this year. We'd love to do that. We can't do it without you. Jinglesmells.movie.
You get $5 off again through this weekend. I want to acknowledge a moment. We said, you know, Veterans Day this Saturday. We always, on this broadcast, thank veterans almost daily because so many call in and support the work of the ACLJ. We have a lot of veterans on our team. The latest one that we've added to our team is, Tulsi Gabbard, who, again, served and continues to serve our country. So, so important that we acknowledge and you tell your children the importance of these days, of those who volunteer to serve, to protect and defend our constitutional rights and liberties. around the world. So remember that on this Veterans Day this weekend. Go pre-buy a Jingle Smells. Jinglesmells.movie. Jinglesmells.movie and become an ACLJ champion, a recurring donor at ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you next week.